Joining me now is Selwyn Duke. Selwyn, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Brandon. Good to be with you again. And two things I'll say. First, it's good to hear about a Delta that's not a virus. That's
yes,
number one.
That's true.
And the second thing is, you said that you've got a new $5,000 piece of equipment. Well, I'm feeling inadequate again because I'm operating on a $50 piece of equipment here. And that's why I just want the audience to know what you're seeing is not accurate. I'm actually five times as good looking as I appear in this equipment. I want everyone to know that. This is why I don't yet have a modeling career. My equipment is doing me in.
That's really good. You have a good sense of humor, Selwyn, and I'm glad. We need that. We need that. All right, so the big story we started out with tonight is the FBI, the Justice Department. We read the press release last night. The Justice Department is telling the FBI they want them to start investigating America's moms for intimidating school boards. I guess the school boards have made up a bunch of snowflakes. They've gotten their feelings hurt that Mama Bear has actually started to defend their cubs from the perverts on the school board that are pushing some of the curriculum. I don't know, by the way, you saw the article by Leo Homan at leohoman.com the other day that Leo embedded a bunch of the videos of these moms reading this book called Lawn Boy. I can't even play it on the air. Have you seen that, by the way?
I've probably seen bits and pieces. I mean, I didn't see that particular article, but like so many other Americans, I've seen videos of these school board meetings, and they have been alarming but also enlivening because you see Americans finally taking a stand and pushing back and becoming aware, Brandon, of what's been accelerating for many, many years. And I'm talking about the left-wing propaganda in the schools. It's nothing new. It's nothing new, but the problem becomes worse and worse. And that's why we see now the left pushing back the other way. And if I may dive right into this, you know, it's interesting, Brandon, because way back in 2008, I wrote an article titled The Race for the American Mind. Now, what was that about? Well, it was about how we had this new media. We had the internet. Before then, we had conservative talk radio. We had cable news. And this new media was helping to make Americans aware of what was really going on, pushing back against the left. And I don't know if I pointed it out in that piece, but here's a good example. As I've said in the past, let's say in 1965, we had had all this new media. Well, I contend, Brandon, that we wouldn't have had that Immigration Reform and Nationality Act of 1965 pass, that nation-rending act that led to the ridiculous immigration regime we have today, because Americans would have been aware of what was going on. But what did we have in 1965? Well, basically, we had a situation where you had the mainstream media, you had nascent talk radio, but not all that much else. So the media had a lock on America's hearts and minds. So basically, the media, the mainstream media, could craft the narrative. But of course, fast forward a few decades, and you do have all this new media trying to wake people up, wake them up, as opposed to becoming woke. But the race for the American mind is this. While that's been going on, the left has been trying to stifle this new media. And even back in 2008, when I wrote that article, I wrote about how Google was censoring certain websites, smaller ones, from its news search. I mentioned what they were. I mentioned individuals who I think had their email service canceled back then because they were criticizing Islam. So my point is all this censorship is nothing new. It's just gotten worse, more egregious. And the race for the American mind is this. The left is trying to stop the alternative media from waking people up before the alternative media can succeed in doing so. And now, okay, that brings us to our current story, because we've seen now big tech engaging in censorship. We've seen entertainment, which is in the tank for the left. We've seen the antique media, the mainstream media, doing these things, censorship for a very, very long time, Brandon. We've seen academia and the schools brainwashing children, okay? But now what do we see? Now we see that the left has taken it a step further, where actually they're trying to stifle dissent in a more obvious way. For instance, you had the January 6th rally. It did get out of hand, but in essence, those people there who entered the Capitol were guilty of trespassing. But now they've been cast by the mainstream media and the Democrat Party and others, big tech, as actual terrorists, right? Because the left is trying to leverage advantage. And that's why we saw the Justice for January 6th rally, Brandon, attract such a very, very small crowd, because Americans, many of them, have been intimidated. They've gotten the message. If you go and protest now in your own nation's capital and you're on the right side of the aisle, you can be labeled a terrorist.
Yep.
Okay. And now what's happening? Now we see the same phenomenon with these parents, mainly mothers, by the way, at school board meetings. Many people, like we mentioned earlier, are aware of the fact that this year we've seen parents livid at school board meetings. What are they upset about? They're upset about critical race theory, which is anti-white and also hurts non-white people because actually it casts virtue as vice. As I've said in the past, these parents, Brandon, they're upset about the sexual devolutionary agenda, as I call it, telling kids they can switch sexes if they will it, and all sorts of things of that nature. And we've seen this pushback, and it's wonderful. And when you watch these videos of these school board meetings, you see the board members invariably sit there stone-faced. You get a flatline response as if they either couldn't care less about these outrages and also the pornographic material, we can call it that, in the books that are presented to many school children. They give you this flatline response as if they couldn't care less at best and as if they're hostile at worst. Now, when we see this, of course, these school boards don't like it. They don't like this pushback. So what did they do? Well, their national board, their national organization actually appealed to the federal government for help, said, hey, we want this designated as a type of domestic terrorism if we deem that these parents are intimidating or confrontational or harassing in some way.
But who defines, intimidation? Who defines harassment? Who defines these terms?
Yeah, well, that's the problem. As I wrote in my piece today, there's no specificity. And of course, we have to figure that that's not a bug, but a feature. Because when you leave it ambiguous, Brennan, then you have a situation where you have wiggle room, where you can basically classify anything that is contrary to your agenda, any parent who might be particularly effective at combating your agenda, as terrorism, as something that is confrontational or harassment. You know, and they're doing this again because they want to stifle dissent. They want to send a message, as they did with the January 6th protesters, that, hey, if you show up at these school board meetings, you might have a target painted on your back now. And again, it's all part of this race for the American mind. And of course, we see a tremendous double standard. You know it well. Just recently, we saw Senator Kyrsten Sinema from Arizona being followed into a bathroom and being videotaped, and she was harassed by these left-wing agitators. And why? Because they want her to support that $3.5 trillion spending bill that's mainly unconstitutional. So the left-wing media, though, have nothing to say about that. That's absolutely fine. As far as they're concerned, that's democracy in action. Joe Biden, when he was asked about this, and he's just one of many to register such sentiments, he said, well, that's part of the process. And of course, it's not. That actually is harassment. But when you're talking about parents who just go to school board meetings where they have an open forum and there's opportunity for public comment, where that is part of the process, well, now that's painted as something that's out of bounds. Or protesting, it's the same thing. It's not just January 6th. We saw in the earlier stages of the COVID situation, Brandon, where there were people who wanted to have anti-lockdown protests in various parts of the country, such as in New Jersey. One of the women there who was trying to organize such a protest, I believe she was actually arrested, if I'm not mistaken. She was certainly clamped down on in some way by the government because this was deemed some kind of public health threat. Meanwhile, the governor of New Jersey, Murphy, when it came to BLM rioters, he said, well, I can't imagine, quote unquote, telling these people to stay home because ostensibly they're going out to protest against so-called systemic racism. Well, that's something that helps to remedy something that really is a public health threat, this systemic racism. So we see this double standard. It's absolutely unbelievable. And what does this lead to ultimately? You know, I touched on this in my article today. It's very, very interesting. And I've got another story for you. I also wrote during the last few days, Brandon, about how for more than 6 months now, I've been suspended by Twitter. And I'm not alone. That might be a record. I don't know, because I've heard of people like President Trump being banned. I've heard of other people being suspended for a short period of time. I've never heard of anyone being kept in limbo by Twitter for 6 months or more, but I did tweak them in print, so I probably got their goat. But my point is this. I'm one of many, okay? So what's happening is conservatives are being censored by big tech, what I call Goog Twitface, combination of Google, Twitter, and Facebook, Goog Twitface, that should catch on. And these conservatives, such as myself, they're moving to alternative social media platforms. So the country is being divided in that fashion, okay? More and more now, liberals and conservatives are circulating in different social media using different big tech platforms. What else do we see? Well, we see the persecution of these protesters, like I said. Well, what could happen in the future? If conservatives get the message, Brandon, that they cannot protest in their own nation's capital, right? They might start holding rallies in friendly states, in conservative states. So then you have now liberals and conservatives protesting in different states. Okay. And what do you see now with the schooling? If parents get the message that they can't even protest or register dissent about curricula that is corruptive to their children at school board meetings, well, more and more are going to homeschool. We already see 11% of households doing that. That means it's no longer a fringe activity. We're going to see more and more parents going towards private schooling. We're going to see them creating their own schooling pods. Then we're going to have a situation where liberals and conservatives now basically are having their kids going to different schools, right? Not only that, we see more and more people leaving left-wing states, such as my state, New York, my sorry state, California. And I heard, I can't verify this, but I heard that more than ever now, these people who are leaving are conservatives. They're akin to political refugees. They don't like the political state of affairs in their left-wing states. So now more and more, we have liberals and conservatives in different states. So now they're using different schools. They're in different states. They're having to protest in different places. Is it going to get to a point, Brandon, where we just start saying, well, wait a second, are they going to conclude that maybe they should have their own different nation? What does this lead to? And yes, I'm alluding to secession, which we see that more Americans are considering more than ever. And my point is that has the left pondered this? I know that they think that they can probably clamp down on dissent and cement their power in the way they dream of doing. But there's another possibility, because division, dividing, does not always lead to conquest. Sometimes it leads to separation. And that's what we're heading towards, because we're operating in different universes, the left and right, more and more today. And unfortunately, it's not going to stop, because the left smells blood. You know, they figure that they have us on the run, and they're not all wrong. Let's face it, they control the whole establishment, academia, the media, entertainment, big tech now, most of corporate America. So definitely, they smell blood. And the truth, though, is that what this comes down to is a moral crisis in our country, like I always talk about. You know, we see the government, Brandon, how Merrick Garland, we haven't mentioned that yet, the attorney general, when the school board association appealed to him for, quote, help, okay, he basically agreed, well, this is something we have to look at. Now, oh, I have to mention something. I just learned this today. You're going to love this. You're going to love this. It turns out that Merrick Garland's daughter married to a man. You heard about this? Oh, then I can't break the news here.
Critical race theory.
He's married to a man. Yeah, yeah. His name, I think, is Jean Tanner. I don't know how you pronounce that first name, but Tanner is his last name. This is according to the Conservative Treehouse. Don't let the name fool you. It's a reputable site that's been around for a long time, and the person who runs it is very, very insightful. And this site writes, quote, is the current co-founder of a controversial education service company called Panorama Education. Panorama Education is the social learning resource material provider to school districts and teachers that teach critical race theory.
And remind our audience, the Attorney General of the United States that oversees the Justice Department, that now controls the FBI, which has now become the jackbooted thugs of the Marxist left Democrats, his child is married to, has a spouse who works for a company that sells critical race theory curriculum to America's schools, correct?
Yes, absolutely. He's involved in that. Now, I just thought I'd mention that because, look, I'm a very fair-minded guy when I evaluate these matters. And the bottom line is, I don't think most of this has to do with a conflict of interest. I think most of it has to do with the ideological component and the desire for power. That's what the left wants
and
above all
intimidation.
Else.
It's about
yes.
Intimidation, intimidation, intimidation. Selwyn Duke, you'll find all of his articles at thenewamerican.com, right? Thenewamerican.com?
Yes, yes. Well, at my website, selwynduke.com, but I mainly write right now for thenewamerican.com, a great website where the people who run it really care about the truth, unlike the mainstream media. And I know you here care about the truth as well. And that's why everyone needs to tune into your show.
Thank you, Selwyn, and thank you for checking in tonight.
Thank you, and God bless you and your audience, Brennan.
Thank you. You too, my friend. Selwyn Duke, checking in tonight, thenewamerican.com.